Well, hello everyone, and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA. What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Now, Dana, it should sound like five cups pouring at this time.
Yes.
You know, because yes. People can't see because this is a audio only show, but we have guests in the room, everyone. So let's invite our guests here, and I'll say hi to them. Hopefully they'll say hi back. Anna Faye Robinson, Financial Aid Director at Pierce College and my successor as the incoming 2021-22 CISFA President. Welcome, Anna Faye.
Thank you. Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
We've got David Loverin, Financial Aid Director at College of the Sequoias, and he's the incoming 2021-22 CISFA Treasurer-Elect. Welcome, David.
Good morning.
And someone new to the pod who hasn't done one of these before with us, at least. I mean, he's probably been on some fancy one like Joe Rogan or something like that. Manuel Cerda, Director of Financial Aid at Pasadena City College and our outgoing Region 7 rep. Welcome, Manuel.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to see everybody. You know, this is our 100th episode, so I invited everyone from the exec board that could make time to do so. And I'm just happy everyone is here, Dana, because, Dana, we have, surprise, surprise, a new national holiday.
Yes, we do.
Yes. And I think most of us found out at the last minute, right, Anna Faye?
Yes.
Yep, about just, you know, before 5, found out.
I made sure to text the one full-time employee I had that was out for the day, just in case they were out and not checking their email, so that they knew that it was coming up because, again, it was a surprise passing and signing late, and then rumors started to spread. Thanks, Microsoft Teams. That always helps.
Those Teams, it blew up yesterday afternoon of all the different rumors, and finally we got our official notice.
So
it's so interesting. I was going to say, my mother and I, we were watching the news the day before, and, you know, watching them voted in, but it didn't occur to me that it would, you know, they would enact it so fast.
Like, true.
I thought there would be, right? Like,
yeah, and with it, I think it, because it's officially obviously June 19th is Juneteenth day. It's on a weekend, so we get it I think probably today. Now I know, David, you said you were in the office, so are you getting the holiday on Monday maybe, or are you just so happy to go into the office?
I have not seen any announcement whatsoever from our administration.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kind of thought about that. We have a national holiday, but yeah, it's business as usual here on the campus today. So everyone's back at work.
Okay. Well, as I know, sometimes you get the Friday or the Monday, but, and Manuel, is this your day off for your campus?
No, we did. Our president sent out an email early this morning. They couldn't get it through, you know, on time. But I think they offered, you know, staff that they could take vacation off on a short notice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, it's kind of a first year thing. So come next year, we'll have a day off, everyone, I'm sure, across the board when our boards and all can get things synced up. But so it's good to see you all here. Again, 100th episode. You know, me and Dana have been doing this for about a year. We'll start episode 101 officially when Anna Faye takes over as queen leader of CISFA in July. So I'll do a couple episodes in between, but I figure we get some people together and see how things are going overall. David, let me start with you. How are things going for you? How has your time been with CISFA? Anything you want to roll with there, we'll bounce back and forth among the others. How are you doing?
Things are going pretty good over here in Central California, except for our fun heat wave, nice 100 plus degree days. But All staff started back to work full time at the beginning of June. So we've been rolling along. Things have been going pretty smooth. We've kind of slowly opening things up. Summer session's still online, but we've opened up our offices, hallways to our buildings. Someone kind of watches the door, and as students come in and have questions, if they're wearing a mask, they let them into the building so they can go to the offices and get help. So we're kind of doing a soft opening that way, getting ready for fall. It's been nice. And some of the craziness has calmed down a little bit to catch up on some of the other paperwork you set aside while you were trying to pay all the CARES grants and all that. So kind of catching up and rolling into summer and getting ready for fall.
So what's your percentage of summer classes that are in person?
We are 100%, pretty much 100%. I mean, I think there's a few classes that maybe have a hybrid lab. My son's taking a nutrition class where he goes in 4 times a week for a lab, 4 times over the 6-week session, I think, or whatever the session is, you know, a few times. But mostly summer we stayed online, and then fall we are going to a 50-50 hybrid. So 50% of the classes are in person and 50% of the classes are online.
Yeah,
so
that's
kind of like a way to ease back into it.
That sounds like what a lot of schools are kind of aiming for. I know our district's the same, but it's interesting. The questions I get from the people that I know outside of higher ed is like, why isn't your summer, seeing that we've opened up all in person? And it's a matter of timing, right? It's a matter that you got to approve the classes. Anna Faye would know this because she's taught a few classes, right? You got to get your class approved, and they've got to put it in the class schedule.
Into the schedule, yes.
People got to be able to register for it, and that all happens months beforehand. And so that's always my understanding and explanation to people. It's like, oh yeah, I guess that does make sense. People don't just register the day before. Correct. So yes, that's why we have that kind of a gap. How about you, Anna Faye? You're in my own district over here, but tell me how things are going for you, and anything else you want to start off with that. And we'll start with that.
Well, I know it's going. We are not back at work. I think that's pretty much across the district. I know for managers and up, I think it's voluntary. Well, I'm not sure. I know we're voluntary right now to go back to work, but I think deans and up, they are required, I believe, to go back to work.
I think ours has been flip-flopping. Ours has been flip-flopping days.
Yeah. So as far as our staff, they're not back at work yet. So we're just waiting for our administration, our district to, provide some guidance on what that would be. And so we're just busy with our remote work right now. So,
hopefully soon enough back to some normalcy. You have any normalcy going on with you, Manuel?
You know what? No, but
nothing is normal.
You know, good stuff. You know, we learned that, you know, we're grateful to have the technology that we did pretty well working remotely. Right. So right now, the college we're welcoming students on campus now, but it's by appointment only.
OK.
So, you know, the staff is back. The classified staff and managers are back 3 days a week.
OK.
Faculty's not back yet. So our summer's still remote. They're going through bargaining and that. But I think it's kind of interesting now with, you know, changing the culture of the college to advocate students to use the technology. It's really, you see the effect now. So we opened up this Monday with in-person appointments, and I have an amazing front triage team that handles that. But we only have a handful of appointments from students. So it's going well. With any challenge, right, you learn, and I think we're learning now to use technology to be more efficient. So,
yeah, the technology thing certainly was kind of, in Anna Faye, I think me and you and even Dana in our district can talk to the fact that it was not concise and the same from campus to campus in our district. You know, I had just enough laptops for the staff, a year and a half ago to hand off to everybody. And so everyone had a actual notebook computer. Someone got the MacBook, but that's another issue.
That's another show.
But everyone at least had a notebook to start with. The good thing was that somewhere along the line, right, Anna Faye, we convinced our district to spend some of the HERF money, because campuses like maybe Anna Faye's bigger than mine, and East LA College didn't have 20 or 30 laptops for their staff. We convinced our district to buy new ones. And we literally just put in for new ones for everybody so that we'd have some technology. Because, Dana, I don't remember, did your laptop die like my laptop died?
It was on its way,
Yeah, like, so our old ones drop dead at some point. And so
the new one came right on time. The new ones came right on the time, I should say.
Well, so. Even this new one, it's, I think it's overworked right now. Sometimes it's very temperamental. So, you know,
I understand. I'm the same way because my setup here is a work computer hooked to a big screen hooked to my personal MacBook that runs the show and my Tassinol. And then I usually got an iPad Pro set up somewhere in here too. So it looks like a command center of the space shuttle or something.
You should take a picture of it one day and probably.
I will do so because with that and the mixer, and I have two keyboards, basically two mice. I'm constantly flipping like this. People can't see my arm moving around like a crazy man to try to keep the two computers running. But it's the only way it can get done sometimes.
You know, Dennis, and one of the things, and we had like a new management change in IT a few years back. So this was like perfect timing because they did an amazing job keeping social distancing and having a check-in process. Everybody, even we have a lot of hourly.
Okay.
Hourly temporary staff. And they even got, I wouldn't say new, but laptops to be able to have VPN connection and work.
Oh, yeah. The VPN is the other world out there, but yeah.
Yeah, that took some convincing as well because we didn't really get our VPN. I mean, I had VPN even pre-pandemic, but the staff, that took a while to get too. So, but now they all have VPN.
Yeah, yeah. David, aren't you lucky now that you're back in the office? You don't have to deal with all of this. I think you got your, there you are.
Right. Yeah, I was mute. Yeah, no, the computer, it's nice getting back in the office and having my computer, my dual screens, everything's working great there. But like Anna Faye said, sometimes her computer gets temperamental. My computer's good, but maybe the user gets temperamental sometimes.
Oh, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That happens, I think, pretty much on a daily basis.
It's interesting going back to the office, right, David? You're so used to working the laptop, and you're like, I have two monitors and a full keyboard and a mouse and a calculator. It's like, you know, it's like you get a lot more done, you know, with
yeah, something that actually runs full speed, you know, of a computer. Yeah. It's hooked in directly, and you know, the only concern I've always what I always hate about the VPN is, you know, it doesn't redraw the screen completely sometimes. Right. So you know, you got pieces and parts, and so I literally have to flip tabs on things and move stuff around so I can see what I was writing.
But you know what's interesting is that because I go to work once a week, and I was there yesterday, my computer at work is slower than my laptop at home. Wow. So I'm like, I should just, might as well just work from home.
Yeah. Well,
it's really weird because it was slow. I don't know, maybe because it hasn't been worked for so long during the last year and a half, but yeah, it's just probably old. It needs to be replaced.
It could be a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing was really interesting where I got to get put up to our IT department. We did, you know, it gave me the opportunity to teach my staff a little bit of technology. I used to call it VPN 1 versus 2. So the second level of VPN was accessing your desktop.
Uh-huh.
So you could do EdConnect and all the technology. So I heard a lot of other schools saying, well, they're tech people, right? They're the people that do EdConnect, how to come in to do it. And you know, we all learn like technology from that. Most of my staff now, they're kind of up to speed understanding what a VPN login, you know, to your desktop versus to an application, right? Very different. So it worked out good. We're smooth now, yeah.
Well, and I think one of the things that really helped over the last, I don't know when we got it, but, you know, between our Soon information system, our third party, we can say Campus Logic here because we're not trying to sell anything. And then also Microsoft 365 for the office suite of things and, you know, using your iDrive safely and appropriately. You know, if you're on a VPN, other than not being able to get to some files, you can still kind of function fairly well, right?
I rarely use my VPN. I mean, rare, because most of the files, everything pretty much you can access through just the web, of course, on a, you know, secure portal because you have to sign in. But I don't really have to use VPN a lot, which is nice because it's really slow too when you VPN in. It's just slow.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, Dana, you probably can speak to that the most because Dana handles our scholarships at LA Mission. Well, now we don't have no $30 million like Pasadena got, but look here, we do have some scholarships. and so she probably is accessing the most files by VPN is my guess, right, Dana? You're getting
Definitely.
Letters.
And, And like Anna Faye saying, it can be very temperamental.
Yeah. Talking about temperamental, it's that time of the show, everyone, where Dennis gets temperamental and fades up a little bit of music, and we'll be right back with our next segment.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
I thought it might be a good time for a refill for those online here. So let's talk a little bit about CISFA, of all things. I know some of you on here have been involved for a while. Now, David, you've done stuff before, obviously, and you're willing to do a three-year stint as the treasurer because we do treasurer-elect, treasurer, past treasurer. How has your time been with CISFA, and in particular this last year, considering, you know, we didn't get to meet, you know, we didn't get to meet in person, you know, for our exec board meetings and all, but how have you done well with CISFA this last year?
CISFA's been a great experience because, again, I'm a little bit newer to the financial aid world, so getting involved with CISFA and the conferences and the organization has been a great way to get to know people, to learn lots of things. This past year, you know, usually we'll meet in Sacramento, you know, for our meetings, and then maybe some other areas like where we have the conference or something. So
yes,
it's, you know, with all the travel restrictions, it's nice we're not having to travel, and Zoom has been nice, but I feel like our meetings are quicker. There's not as much discussion. I think, you know, we all, that camaraderie, that fellowship when we're all in that room together, talking through issues, learning from each other, asking tough questions. You know, it's a great learning experience, and I kind of miss some of that. So I am looking forward to getting back together as a group in person. I feel like there's a lot more, we get more out of the meetings, a little bit more discussion. But just for being in a pandemic and still being able to meet and keep CISFA going, and I applaud, you know, you as president and Mike and Tamara, some of the leadership when the conferences were being canceled and all the pandemic stuff was happening, and how we kind of kept the organization going and tried to, you know, refund what people had paid. So trying to keep things going, trying to take care of the members of CISFA and the financial aid community and keep information out there. I think I applaud everything that you guys did.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I mean, it took everyone this year to do what we had to do. You know, Manuel, definitely, you know, I missed having those in-person exec board meetings. Not only that, you know, because you're the regional rep and our regional reps hold and plan out the regional meetings, I miss those in-person regional meetings quite a bit.
Right, you know, and just, yeah, it's different, right? It's more efficient doing remotely, but in person it's just, you know, sometimes those side conversations, you know, how are you doing
in
school, some tips, tricks, you know. But I know, you know, I'm transitioning over, so I think my term expires now, so I'm trying to stay involved, right? Hopefully in the next couple of years, but because I'm moving from region 7, let me get this right then, 7 to 8.
Correct, you're going from 7 to 8, so soon enough you can be regional rep for 8, I'm sure they'll always take a backup. But this does leave then me and Anna Faye, who are in 7, and already got jobs on the board. We're going to help you try to find whoever our next regional rep will be. Anna Faye, who are we gonna beat over that?
Everybody out there listening, I mean, I know one of my mentors years back always told me, you know, when you get the opportunity, serve in CISFA and, you know, committees, because it's beneficial to your operation. Right? You, it's hard to see that sometimes when you're busy in the trenches day to day. But I mean, just taking that, you know, like the FAR meetings, taking those 2 days off, even though it sounds like 2 days of anti-production, is really like it's refreshing. You know, you come back to your office and come with new ideas, you share with it, the school's done. So very, very beneficial. You know, get firsthand glimpse at new policies, right?
True.
Interpretation from other schools, a lot of benefit, But
that's why Anna Faye must just be full of knowledge. Because again, Anna Faye, you've done the CASFA thing and a variety of positions. You are still officially past president with CASFA till what, October?
Yes.
Is how you guys work?
Yeah. Yes. And now you're at the end of the CASFA conference, then I will conclude my past president for CASFA.
And then just do but like three or four committees.
I'm still involved with CASFA. I'm a CASFA trainer.
I was going to say trainer, or you'll probably still be working on a few committees, I'm sure. But you're back with CISFA. We've got you back in. You're going to be the president in a matter of 14 days, 13 days, something like that.
You're counting yourself, aren't you?
I'm trying to. Yeah, I should have had a calendar back behind me here. So now I would never be like that because, you know, I'm here for you as past president, but not that if anyone's ever had an easier job of a transition, that's why you, you know, joining the board, because again, we had that opening, you know, my original president behind my successor left our state, took a job in a beautiful state where they make bourbon and stuff like that, maybe. we had Anna Faye fill in as president-elect for a tiny little minute, and then now obviously you'll be president. So talk a little bit about your time here with CSUN, even in the last year or so, or CASFA, and how things have been going.
Well, I know it's been great, you know, being in both or volunteering for both organizations have been wonderful. It's a time, you know, to connect, and really I've met a lot of great folks and, you know, have some friends, you know, gain some friends, and we learn from each other. So it's been wonderful. I think volunteering for CSFA, CASFA, or any of the ASFAs, for that matter, I think keeps our sanity. You know, it's one way for us to, to connect and bounce each other's ideas and you just share best practices. And I think without that, I would be lost.
Yeah, and I think it's great too, because I David, you're one of those people at a school that, unless I was driving through town or something, probably would never have met if it wasn't for a CSFA type of thing like the CSFA conference or the exec board. I think we get a variety of schools. We've had people serving almost probably from every school across the state all the way at the top, where we've got like Butte and Shasta College, and I'm trying to think if Yuba's up there. We've got them to Lake Tahoe, to Monterey Peninsula. We've got the middle of the state. I think Columbia is somewhere in that middle area, but you got the Fresno, the Modesto schools, and then you get all the way down into, you know, Imperial Valley, San Diego, here in LA, where again, me, Anna Faye, Manuel, and Dana are all at. But I think having that perspective of schools across the state, and you can say the same thing, David, hopefully you feel that you get some representation as a school that otherwise gets maybe lost between the big LA area and the San Francisco Sacramento area.
Exactly. Unless you're driving the 99 and that little, passing through town between Fresno and Bakersfield, and region 5 it's even hard for us to get together. Sometimes we're really a large region, our most southern college down in Bakersfield. And then we go all the way up almost to Sacramento with Tina up in San Joaquin Delta.
Yeah.
Even for me, if I drive up to Modesto, that's a 2-hour drive, or if you're going to Sacramento, 3 to 4 hours. So Bakersfield's an hour and 15 south of where I am. So our region is almost, you know, at least a 4 or 5 hour drive span. So trying to get us all together sometimes can be challenging versus, you know, community colleges in a more metropolitan cluster for a region. But yeah, it's so great getting to know everybody from the different regions.
Yeah.
So that the Zoom technology probably then really worked for you guys for region 5, because then you don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the best parts of the pandemic. If anything, I've learned to become comfortable and proficient at using Zoom, because before I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to get on cameras and try to figure out all this multimedia. Sure. But now it's almost like, oh, yeah, let's just fire it up and go.
So Anna Faye, what I'm hearing from him is you should have no excuse ever going to a regional meeting in the LA OC area, because the drive is so much shorter no matter what. I mean, we occasionally,
no.
I know you live on the far edges of it all, and your school is on the far edge, and mine is too. That's why we don't host at LA Mission. We're on the far north end, and the poor people down in the southern Orange County would have to cut through downtown LA to get to my school. But, you know, we do like meeting kind of in the middle many times. We've done Pasadena in the past. We've done Cerritos, Orange Coast, when we get down to their boathouse. Oh, that's always fun, you know, but.
Yeah, I know, right. But I mean, with LA though, yeah, you could, you know, when out of towners would tell, you know, would ask, so, you know, it's, how long will it take for me to drive from point A to point B? While it's only, let's say, 5 miles, you can tell it's only 5 miles, but in LA, you say, well, let's see what time of the day it is.
Yeah.
And what is it, a mid, is it weekday or weekend? And you tell them by, minutes or hours for that reason, right? Not necessarily miles. So yeah, meeting mm-hmm. in person. Yes, it is great. I mean, trust me, I would love to meet in person. There are times though that, it's just difficult with all the traffic. I mean, even now, I mean, people are not back at work, and not everybody are back at work. The traffic is like,
it's picking
seems
up.
Like it seems like the pandemic never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be all relative, because I can drive 100 miles to Modesto in 2 hours, but you guys probably in LA sometimes may only get 20 miles in 2 hours. So
yeah, sometimes
relative with the traffic.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it takes me, like, for example, from Pierce driving to our downtown office. That's what, 27 miles, right?
Around there, yeah.
Something like that. It's going to take me an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. It's interesting how that is.
Yeah. How's your commute, man? Well, here.
Well, speaking of that, my commute, it's about 44, where I live in West Covina. So it's about 45 minutes to an hour from my house. But I was wondering, Dennis, when we do the meetings at the boathouse down there.
Yes.
I mean, for you in LA, that must be, because coming out of Orange County on a Friday, this way, it's
well, crazy. The thing is, on those days when, again, our regional meetings we do on Fridays, Fridays are the lighter of the days. I don't have appointments and most of that stuff. Other than this podcast, which I guess I'll have to figure out, me and Dana, we may have to rework that once we get back into the real world again. For me, I guess make that Friday a little more enjoyable. Again, we don't meet till 9 or so. Right. I make it to drive. When I've had the convertible, I may not put the top down on the highway till I get closer to Newport, but at some point the top will come down, so I make it an enjoyable ride. And then afterwards, there's not the rush to get back to the office. If I'm going to work remotely, I'll work remotely from some place that allows cigars indoors, that kind of thing, So you're right. It adds time, but I guess I have to you got to factor it in, I guess. Right.
Yeah,
I get, in this kind of shameless plug, but I listen to What's Brewing on the drive.
There you go. see?
No, but I do listen to a lot of the off the cuff and this NASCAR stuff. And,
yes.
Get on the phone on the way.
Dana, that's our competitors, our NASCAR people that
my kids make fun of me now because I listen to talk radio while I drive or podcast like this. So that happens when you have the responsibility.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I listen to a variety of podcasts too myself, not just the off the cuff and our, I barely listen to my own show because once I've talked through it, do I really want to hear myself again? But it's at least back there. I've got the audio archives if I need to go to it, especially the news ones, those news episodes. At least we just talked about like FAFSA simplification stuff. Mm-hmm. In the early release of a few of those things on the Tuesday show, but it's my way of taking all those emails that come through from Federal Student Aid, CSAC, and everyone else, and at least I have an audio, a transcript of it somewhere, laid out that I can always get back to. But yeah, the podcast in the car, it's almost a necessity, and I don't even have kids to bother with it yet, so it's one of those things. Dana, you can listen to him at home if you want to with Miss Victoria, your mom, but I'm sure you're too busy listening to fantastic music.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
24/7. Yeah.
And talking about music, guess what? It's time for a little music ourselves right here. And we'll be back with our last segment. And just like that, we are back for the last sip segment. Do ourselves our sound effect. And usually during this last sip segment, unless there's other topics anyone wanted to throw out, we usually do a little bit of I dare you to's here on the show. So usually it's, an I dare you to listen to something, because I know we've got some audio files in the room. It might be a I dare you to read something. Sometimes I've literally just reached back to the bookshelves behind me and found a book, but I've got, I'm usually in the middle of some book sometime, and or watch a TV show and all that. I'm going to randomly pick here. Manuel, do you have any I dare you to's for our audience out there that you would want to suggest today? Oh, you're on the mute world. There we go.
Yes. I dared you to take a day off and not think about work.
I like that.
I almost did it one day, but... But then my SARC report was due, so I had to jump back on.
That's usually how that works. Well, and I think you're the. You can tell me if I'm interpreting this correctly. It's not just to take the day off; it's to not think about work part.
Right.
You got to put that in there. I'm going to be with you on that. How about you, David? Anything for our audience out there?
Maybe. Couple of things recently, if people like the jazz and I dare you, I kind of stumbled across Miles Davis, of course, has such a huge catalog over the years of different styles. But there's an album he did for a soundtrack. It's called A Tribute to Jack Johnson. It was based on a documentary about the boxer Jack Johnson. Okay. It's two songs on the whole album, like two 20-minute songs. But that there's a first track that it's almost like rock and roll funk. It's guitar, drum driven. Uh-huh. And it's almost like his trumpet is a supporting instrument instead of him taking the lead. And it's just kind of rock, blues, funky, all kinds of stuff happens in that first 20-minute track. And it's kind of something interesting and different. So I'd say check that out. And then other than that, a couple of weeks ago when Lisa and I were on with you,
yes.
Afterwards we were talking about, growing up and of course, giving away our ages or going to high school back in the 80s and things like that. But how she went back and discovered some NXS or something. So I would say, go back and dig through your old stuff and find something maybe from your high school years or that you really liked, boy bands, rock bands, whatever it was, and listen to some of that old stuff that reminds you of your glory days. Enjoy some tracks.
I like that. I like that a lot. I know. I do the same thing. I've found like NXS and every once in a while I'll go back to something from the, I'm going to say the 80s just to be nice. But somewhere around the 80s. How about you, Anna Faye? Anything for our group today?
Well, not really, but I know Manuel kind of said it because I was just going to dare him because he was talking earlier about he takes vacation so that he can catch up work. So I said, I was going to dare him to please take a vacation and not actually do work. So yes, take vacation now that the state's open. So maybe, we need to either take a road trip or fly somewhere. So take vacation and not think about work at all. Because I think we need to disconnect, especially, for the last, close to a year and a half now, being online. So we need to at least just,
chill. Chill out, everybody, if you can. Yeah. Why not? Dana, anything from you here on the chilling out or otherwise? You want to dare people?
Yeah. So since you mentioned music.
Yeah.
The artist H-E-R.
Yes.
Her new album just dropped Back of My Mind. So definitely check it out. I had a chance to sample a little bit of it when it came out at midnight.
Of course.
And I'm actually going to go see her at Hollywood Bowl. In August, playing with the Phil. So,
yeah, I can't
wait. That'd be awesome.
I can't wait. The bowl is starting to open up. I'm getting the emails now. Now I got to figure out where I get the money from. So, Van Morrison's coming. So I got to see him before he, let's say retires. Let's retires from music before he retires from music. Because last time he came through town, he played a little venue, the Wiltern, which is a great indoor auditorium, little space or whatever, theater style. But again, it's a small thing and it's LA and he's popular in LA. I didn't want to sell my car to buy tickets. So it's one of those things. But I'm gonna put up a separate, I dare you to today. I'm going to put out a band that I've liked for a while here. St. Paul and Broken Bones out of Birmingham, Alabama. They've got this kind of more acoustic world meets white soul singer kind of guy. They have on Bandcamp website some live albums that I think they recorded one during the pandemic that are just really fantastic sounding albums. And again, you can get their regular albums just on Amazon or wherever you buy your music or stream your music from. But St. Paul and Broken Bones. And the other thing I'll say is what I drink in the morning right now is my sparkling water. And not that they're going to, I don't want an advertising campaign here, but blueberry of all flavors, sparkling water. It barely tastes like blueberries. It's from a company called Waterloo. So any sparkling water you'd like to buy, please do. It's good for you. Zero calories, all that good stuff. And it weans me off the soda. That's a big thing. Trying to get off the soda world here. Well, everybody, I want to be careful of using too much of your time here. And as such, you know, I'm going to have to say we're going to call it a day here on the episode to move people along for the rest of their day. But again, there will be other episodes coming up. We have episode 101 in just a couple weeks. We'll do a couple bonus episodes in between then and now. I'll give my state of the association kind of thing on the next bonus episode. And then me and Anna Faye will have bonus episode number two, or B, as I think I called it, to kind of discuss the upcoming year in CISFA. So I want to thank all of our guests on this 100th episode of the podcast. Thank you, Manuel, David, Anna Faye, for showing up. And thank the best co-hosts in the world on podcasts, Dana. And lastly, of course, thank our audience for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcspa@gmail.com.
You can always find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 100, recorded the morning of Friday, June 18th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day.
And have a great weekend.
Yes.